reading from Psalm 119, starting at verse 97 all the way through to 112, found on page 613. So that's Psalm 119, verses 97, starting, found on page 613. I've been reading this week in John chapter 6, and God's been showing me in the last couple of weeks that he's faithful first to his word, not because of who I am or who you are, but because of who he is. And in John chapter 6, Jesus says in verse 45, it is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. And the psalmist in Psalm 119 speaks about learning from God directly and God teaching him. So I'm just going to pray for Alan. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we read your word tonight, it's unchanging. You are faithful to your word and you can't change it out of faithfulness to your name. We pray for Alan as he comes to preach your word, that it is faithful and true to who you are. And Father, that you will just convict us through your Holy Spirit and teach us as you have taught us through Jesus. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to church tonight. My name's Al, and tonight we're going to be focusing on the place of the Bible in our lives. One of our themes for the whole term ahead is our personal devotional life, that is, the spiritual habits of prayer and Bible reading and how important they are. And so tonight we're kind of kicking all that off with a theme on the place of God's Word in our lives. And because that's our theme tonight, everybody that I speak to after church tonight, I'm going to be asking this question. What are you learning right now from God's word? Don't avoid me. What are you learning right now from God's word? Isn't it interesting? It interests me that just the anticipation of that question, some of you have gone to work straight away on formulating an impressive answer. Just the anticipation of that question fills us with anxiety. No, I'm going to have to, or even guilt maybe. Why do you think that is? What are you learning right now from God's word? You cannot be a Christian without the Bible. You cannot be a Christian without the Bible. And that's because the message that every human being has a life and death problem with God, that Jesus has died and has risen in your place to resolve, that message is only available to the human race from the Bible. And if you are a Christian person as you sit here tonight, if at some point or during some season of your life, you put your trust in Jesus and received the Holy Spirit and forgiveness of sins, and you know that you are a child of God, if you have done that, whether it felt like this or not at the time, you have responded to the message of the Bible, and a message that doesn't come from anywhere but the Bible. The Bible is indispensable. And for that reason, when a person becomes a Christian, typically they learn all sorts of things about the Bible. They learn the Bible is God's word. They learn Jesus himself read the Bible and was shaped by the Bible and guided by the Bible, that Jesus taught other people to regard the Bible as having God's authority over them and over him. That's the message, and then comes the application point. In my case, it was at Sunday school. We were taught to sing a song. The best book to read is the Bible. The best book to read is the Bible. If you read it every day, it will help you on your way. Oh, the best book to read is the Bible. Right, every day. Or to less poetically, as a speaker I heard slightly later on in my life said, no Bible, no breakfast. That was his rule for reading it first thing every day. No Bible, no breakfast. Right. No Bible, no breakfast. That's the rule. And it's because we have that sense, yes, if you read it every day, no Bible, no breakfast, we elevate daily Bible reading to basically the measure of spiritual seriousness, don't we? So that to say to somebody, what are you learning from God's word right now, or how are you going with your daily Bible reading, it's not just a fun fact. We fear that question because we feel like it exposes us to evaluation, spiritual evaluation. I'm not going to ask it, by the way. We fear it because we think there's more at stake than just out of interest. We feel we're about to share what sort of disciple we are for the Lord Jesus. And the irony is, even though we do believe those things about the Bible, it's God's word, Jesus himself bases his life on the Bible, many of us struggle with that daily habit. Now, everything that's worthwhile in life takes discipline, and all those things are true. But to some extent, I think our problem is that we think wrongly about the Bible, and so our motivations are all off. See, we think of the Bible as one of the, or daily Bible reading as one of the great thou shalt rules in life, a great should of the Christian life, daily Bible reading. But in fact, when we do that oftentimes, and I think this is true of us at St. James, there's a glitch in our thinking. Because the purpose for which God has given us the Bible is not that we master it, like we've got a text that we have to study for an exam. The purpose for which God has given you the Bible is not that you master it, but that God transforms you through it. Say that again. The purpose of the Bible is not that you master it, but that God transforms you through it. Let me say a bit more about this transformation business. We have three priorities as a church, which I hope our regulars all know: reaching the lost, discipling the young, and growing believers. And what we're speaking about when we say growing believers is nothing short of spiritual transformation. Transformation. That is God's continual work in your life by his Holy Spirit, through which you are transformed into a more and more and more Christ-like version of yourself. Transformation. That is God's great purpose in your life. And the Bible is one of the key means that God, the Holy Spirit, uses to transform you. It's as if you have, if you have a kid who's healthy and you want her to grow, you give her food. Now, the purpose of her life is not to eat. The purpose is to grow.
But you get it that, among other things, she's got to eat in order to grow. And if you're born again, if you're a child of God by the Holy Spirit, and your purpose is to grow spiritually, to be transformed into the likeness of Christ, you need what is in the Bible. And so the emphasis is not on information, but on transformation. Not information, but transformation. And what's interesting is when you open the Bible and read what it says about itself, the Bible's emphasis is on transformation. Let me read you one of our go-to passages on this. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. In other words, all Scripture is God-breathed and exists for transformation. She didn't say all Scripture is God-breathed, now memorize it. All Scripture is God-breathed and serves His purpose in your life, that you be transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. The reason God gives you the Bible is not so that you can pass a knowledge quiz, but so that you can be transformed. And the more we grasp that, you see, the more we long for closeness to God and transformation into the likeness of Jesus, the easier we will find it to pick up our Bible expectantly, even gratefully. See, one of the ironic, maybe even perverse things about no Bible, no breakfast, and you might be a person who just loves that kind of hard, you know, you might have written that down. That's good. No Bible, no breakfast. No. That's okay. But one of the perverse things about that is the message of the Bible is the message of God's grace to you. You know what grace is? The message of His total generosity and initiative towards someone undeserving and uninterested. It's a word of grace. And so it's ironic to say, you can't even eat your cereal till you've read the book about grace. To set up a law in our lives in order that we come to a deeper understanding of God's grace is odd. It's God's grace itself which motivates us to read the Bible. And the thing that strikes me when I read Psalm 119, which is a very long psalm, we just read a little excerpt from it, is not what the writer thinks about the Bible, what he knows about God's word, or what he would write in the exam. It's how he feels about the Bible. Have a look at Psalm 119 there. Just a couple of verses. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Verse 111, your statutes are my heritage forever. They are, listen to this, the joy of my heart. The joy of my heart. This guy doesn't come from the no Bible, no breakfast school. He wakes up, he thinks, where are God's statutes? Where's the joy of my heart? Those words that are sweeter than honey. Those words that I love, that I can just meditate on. It's how he feels about it. And how he feels about the Bible is inseparable from how he feels about God and how he feels about God's work of transformation. So it's not, I'm saved, I'm one of God's people, now I've got this special job to do, read this terrible book. He's excited about God. He's excited about God changing him. And that's why he's excited about God's word. And in fact, the whole of Psalm 119 is not a sermon about God's word that's addressed to other believers. It's addressed to God about his word. And it's almost like a love poem to God about the Bible. And that combination of God and his word and transformation, it's not just found there in the Old Testament in Psalm 119. Let me read you from Romans 15. He says, everything that was written in the past, he means the Old Testament, was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, pause, see how he's saying everything that was written in the past was written to transform, to give endurance, to bring encouragement. Through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Now listen to what he says in the next sentence. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus has. One moment he says endurance and encouragement is taught in the Bible. The next moment he says God gives endurance and encouragement. It's all bound up for him. It's all bound up. To see things in the Bible is to hear things from God. To learn something from the Bible is to learn something from God. To be transformed by something in the Bible is to be transformed by God. You see this in our psalm in verse 102. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. The influence of God's word is the influence of God himself. And so at our best, when we pick up the Bible, we're motivated not by guilt, but by gratitude, by expectancy at our best. That's what makes it a regular part of our lives. Now, in a moment, I'm going to hand over to Kaz to help us think further about this. But first, let me tell you a story, a true story. This happened to me, and it had a profound effect on me. My grandfather was one of the most important biblical scholars of the 20th century, a completely dominant in his field. You'd be hard put. His books, you'll find his books in the study of pretty much any Christian minister you care to visit. Massively important and influential scholar. He died when I was in my final year at university. And at the end of that year, I finished my studies, I went over to the UK to stay with my granny for a few weeks. And she was getting used to being a widow, but she hadn't cleaned out all the stuff. All his books were still there. And she said, oh, yes, I'm going to donate them all to the university. And anyway, so the first afternoon I arrived, I went upstairs to my papa's study. And it was a great big room, like one of the front rooms of Winola, just filled with books. Just filled with books. Thousands upon thousands of volumes. And you have to understand, I was a young guy, I was a Christian, I was full of intellectual vanity, just finished university, and I saw these books. I thought, oh, yeah, this is what, you could be so smart, so much information in these books. And my granny said to me, take whatever you like, take whatever you like. Can you imagine? I thought, I'm going to have to sleep on this. I went to bed, woke up the next morning, came downstairs, and there at the kitchen table was my granny. She was hunched over, concentrating, and after a while she realised that I was there. She looked up and said, oh, she's just doing her Scripture Union daily Bible reading notes. And she said, oh, sorry, I was concentrating. She said, I'll be glad when we're finished with Revelation. She said, they've got a Bible reading schedule. They're in the middle of the book of Revelation. She said, I'll be glad when we finish with Revelation. I've always struggled with it. Now, here's the thing. When Granny's there concentrating, struggling away with the book of Revelation, it's not like she doesn't know that upstairs in the house there are hundreds of books explaining the book of Revelation. That's not the point. She's interested in getting this book and what God has to say to her. See, upstairs there's information. But what's going on downstairs at the kitchen table, that's transformation. That's the spirit we need when it comes to reading our Bible. And reading it regularly. I'm going to hand over to Kaz.
So how are we going to grow habits that help us to be lovers of the Bible and allow God's word to do that work of transforming us? I also spent this week reflecting on Psalm 119, and I have been really humbled by the psalmist's conviction that God's word changes him and shapes his life. He's utterly convinced that God speaks through his word and that it's vital to listen to God in order to be changed and to live a good life. And I think as we listen to Psalm 119, it's challenging to see his devotion. It kind of freaks me out, that kind of intensity that he has for the Bible. He's very emotional, and it's kind of scary, I think, but it's also very appealing. I think we all long to be like him, to love and delight in God's instructions, to be able to say, "Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart." It's just quite hard to imagine having that kind of joy, but I think deep down we really want it. We want the same delight that he has over reading the scriptures. And you feel that this confidence releases him from all the other things that trip us up when we think about our personal devotional life, where we simply feel that we should read our Bibles because that's what Christians do, or because we want to tick off the 365 Bible readings in 1 year. Instead, his heart is warm. He desires to know God more and to love him. And he knows that he needs it regularly, often, in order to feed his soul and in order to fuel his relationship with his loving Heavenly Father. And I think we want that same love for God's word as he has. Not just information about God, but for it to change our life, giving us hearts that overflow with love for God and for each other. And the psalmist reassures us that God's word is effective and it gives us the skills we need to face each day. He assures us the Bible is practical and helpful, and there's real benefit in biblical input. In Psalm 119, verse 101, he tells us, "I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word." And I think we want the same confidence as we face the challenges of our world, as we make ethical and moral decisions in our workplaces, in our unis and at school, as we live in a complex and at times very confusing world. And we are trying to find direction for ourselves in order to give wisdom to our friends. And we know that the Bible can direct us and guide us and give us the confidence and the fuel to be obedient to God. Verse 98, he says, "Your commands are always with me and makes me wiser than my enemies." And I think in a world where it sometimes feels hard to be Christian, where we stand out for following Jesus, it is God's word that gives us confidence and strength to stand for him. It gives us the words to say sometimes in the midst of our weakness. And the promise that God makes is that his word will make us wiser than our enemies. Verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." And so often we're faced by difficult decisions about our futures, about what to do with our careers, what relationships to invest in, how to spend our money and how to be generous. God's word meets us and gives us the direction and the guidance that we need. And often the world does feel like a lonely and chaotic place. And we need to be reminded that God loves us and he is always with us. God's words speak into our lives and remind us of the wonderful truth that he has poured his grace and mercy out into us in the Lord Jesus. How sweet are your words to our taste, sweeter than honey to our mouths. And we often think that reading God's word is an added extra. It would be good to do, but I just need more time. Or if I was better disciplined, I'd get to my Bible reading. Or if I was just a bit more spiritual. But Psalm 119 tells us that having Bible input is vital for our souls. We need it for survival as one of his people. And it's an imperative for us to grow and to be changed to be more like Jesus. So we need to fashion rhythms and build habits that help us meditate on God's word. And more than just need it, I think we want it too, because as we do read his word, we will receive the blessings that are found there, and it will become the joy of our heart. I think one of the challenges with building Bible reading habits is that we believe they're best done on our own, in solitude, on a desert island or on a beach. But the truth is that one of the wonderful things is that we get to engage with God's word together, to read it, to talk it, to teach it to each other, to sing it together, to disagree over it, to speak it into each other's lives in times of deep struggle, and to shout it out at times of great joy. We are a community on Sunday night that gathers together around God's word, and that is to colour, enrich, and shape our times together. We also have biblical input each week in our growth groups on Friday nights at youth group, on Sunday nights in senior high Bible study. Each and every week we gather around God's word. And I think there's no other place that's quite like a growth group where we get to apply God's word into each other's lives at such a personal level. I gather with my growth group on Tuesday evening, and it's always a great delight to look at God's word together, to seek to understand it. We battle through passages that are hard. We think really hard about what it says to us as we live in our workplaces and in our culture. And we talk about every different aspect of our lives, our witness in the world, our service of our family and of our community, and what we do with our money. And some weeks can be pretty average. We can be sad or tired or stressed. But each week we seek to listen to God and apply his word into our lives. And as we do that together, week in and week out, we are transformed and changed. And I get to see that change in the lives of my brothers and sisters each week. If you're not in a growth group at the moment in senior high Bible study, then you might like to think about joining one of those groups. You just need to tick the box on a tear-off slip and I'll help you find a group and take the opportunity to read the Bible together with your brothers and sisters. Also, in Term 3 this year at St James, we are focusing on encouraging each other in our personal devotional life. Our hope is that we get to speak truly about our struggles with personal devotional time, but also celebrate our wins and learn from each other, from people who have put rhythms and habits in that help them read their Bibles. We also have several events and programs that we hope will skill you up and perhaps give you a bit of a kickstart in your devotional life. And the dates are all on the back of your service sheet that you got as you came through the door. In August, we're running some personal devotional boot camps, which will give you the basics of starting out in reading your Bible and praying. And also, if you've already got that in place, then there'll be some strands that will help you stretch. On Sunday, the 31st of August, we're going to run a prayer morning, and that's an opportunity to give you an extended time from 9 to 12:30 to pray by yourself. And if that sounds way too scary and daunting, we'll also provide some direction and support as you do that. And like last year, during September, we will take 10 minutes to shape our days by taking part in a daily Bible reading program written by St. James people. And you can even start today. On the back of this week's service sheet, we've broken up Psalm 119, which is a very long psalm, and every section of it is excited and delighting in God's word. And you might like to take some time this week to read those passages and to choose a verse and to meditate on it. Also, it might be that you don't have a Bible at home, and so we've got a pile of them in the little foyer out here to my left, your right, and we'd love you to grab one and take it home, particularly if you have a Bible at home. It might be an old-fashioned version. We have modern NIVs out there that are great and easy to read, so grab one of those as a gift from us. We're praying that August and September will be a time when we grow in our love of God's word. And during these months, we hope that God will equip us to live for him and to be transformed more and more into the image of our Lord Jesus, the joy of our heart. So let's pray together. Merciful Lord, you alone can order our unruly wills and affections. Teach us to love what you command and to desire what you promise, that among the changes and chances of this world, our hearts may surely be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.